WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, nice to have you with us here today as we cruise into the 5 o'clock hour. Another big round of applause for Brian Frazoco with that tremendous montage of what was a disastrous evening at the Meadowlands for the New England Patriots. They get smoked by Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. They fall to 1-2 on a season which each week has gotten just a little bit worse, and a lot of people think maybe he's even bottomed out here with this loss to the Jets. I would say, au contraire to that, you got a lot of football left to play. You got 14 weeks of football left to play here. This is probably not rock bottom, people. I hate to put it that way, but you got a long way to go, and we'll see. We'll see if it gets worse. We'll see if maybe it gets better. We'll see if Drake May goes in this weekend, or next weekend, I should say, against the San Francisco 49ers. I know some fans want to see that. Some of you don't. We've heard from both of you, and we continue to hear from you at 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. By the way, I'm live at the Ford Clubhouse Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the freedom of choice. Shop deals built for you on the New England Edition F-150, official truck of the Boston Red Sox. And when I say that it's not exactly hopping out here on Lansdowne Street, it's not great weather. It's been like threatening a big storm here all day, and I think the tarp has been removed. Tarp is off the field. It hasn't rained for a while, but it doesn't seem like there's much of a buzz here for this game tonight, maybe because the season's over for the Red Sox. But there's some Twins fans. Twins fans don't want to get their season spoiled, so they're in here. They'll be loud and proud, I'm sure. But we're talking Patriots with you until around, going a little bonus show here today as we go until about 6:15 and then hand things over to the Mass Mutual pregame show. Andy Hart. We talked about this early on in the show. What was the most disappointing aspect of last night for you?
Tackling. I thought that was a given. I thought Peppers, Duggar, Jones, Tavai. And I know you were without your leading tackler, but that doesn't mean, just because Jawan Bentley leaves doesn't mean everybody else forgets how to tackle, or at least
no one else
shouldn't.
Can tackle, I guess. Yes.
Like, you know, Josh Uche meets Allen in the backfield. He doesn't need to let him run through him and pick up yards instead of a tackle for a loss. So the fundamental aspect of this loss started with tackling for me, because if they tackle better, they probably get off the field a little bit better. You know, they gave up the Lazard touchdown, right? The first one was like a broken 9-yard tackle to get into the end zone. So I would start there, because I have a lot of questions about a lot of the other stuff that wasn't that good. But if we now add tackling, and you're not a very good tackling team on defense, well, you might be right. They haven't bottomed out. If they're going to continue to tackle like that, they have not bottomed out.
Yeah, the defense for me, I mean, it was really the two things that were supposed to be the strength. The defense and the run game, both of those last night I thought looked bad. The defense looked bad. He didn't really get any sort of pressure on Rodgers. He had the two sacks, but it didn't seem like he was really ever under siege. He didn't get 1-3 and out the entire game, which I still can't believe. And your run game. I mean, come on. You got nothing out of Stevenson except for a fumble, which he lost, and he's fumbled in all three games now. So the two strengths, the two supposed strengths of this 2024-25 Patriots team were both on display last night as not strengths but weaknesses. And in some cases, you can even say debilitating weaknesses, liabilities almost, you know? I mean, and this is a team that has no pass offense and wasn't really expected much on special teams. Now, the punting ended up being the best part of the entire aspect of the franchise, which is never something you want to see in a rebuild or anywhere else. But that's the reality right now. Like, you got outclassed by the Jets in their home opener and a 40-year-old on a short week, and that's the reality that we have to be living in now. The reality 2 weeks ago was that you shocked the world and beat the Cincinnati Bengals, and wow, isn't that great? This is a new reality, and it happened very, very quickly. It's going to take another couple of wins, I think, to get back even close to that week one feeling that we were at, that week one high of beating Joe Burrow. It seems like it was an awfully long time ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, and especially because it came in week one, because right. Week ones can be weird when, you know, strange things happen, no one's ready, blah, blah, blah. So there's almost even more reason to write it off. I am not going to feel the way I felt after week one just because they go out and do that against, I don't know, Tennessee or Jacksonville. Let's just pick an opponent. Maybe they put it all together. They tackle well. They run the ball. So can you do it 2 weeks in a row? Because you haven't shown necessarily that ability to do anything consistently. You started high and have faded since in almost everything. Almost mm-hmm. everything has been in a downward trajectory over the first three games of the season, from where you started in Cincinnati to where you look like you're heading toward in San Francisco next weekend.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough watch next weekend, I think. It's just gonna be, we'll see who the quarterback is. That may make it a little more palatable, but I think it's gonna be a bit of a trip to the dentist if I had to make an early prediction here. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go down to the great state of Rhode Island and talk to our good buddy Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Matt?
Yeah, as soon as I heard Barrymore was, you know, had those health issues, I really had a really bad feeling about the defense. I mean, I thought he was place for an all-pro year, and you're talking about a guy that takes two or three guys up and everyone else is running loose, and obviously he was Bentley, you know, that's the story. But you know, with Drake May, I'm not talking about injury aside, I'm putting him in. We have time of the Thursday game. He's playing next week. He's starting against the 49ers. If you're worried about ruining a guy, then he's not the guy, in my opinion. Plus, you're going to lose the team. If Jacoby can't make the throws that he can make, so put some read options in there. You know, start, you know, short drops, quick plays. Come on, let's get on with this process here. That's what I think. Thanks.
All right, I'm with you, Matt, but I also don't really care about losing the team. Like, you know what I mean? What, you're going to lose KJ Osborne? He's going to check out. Tyquan Thornton's going to check out. Like,
Pop
really?
Douglas.
Like, is that Pop Douglas? I mean, listen, he already is discontent.
No, he's happy.
And you can see that. Well, maybe he's happy now, but
yeah,
he already voiced some discontent in order to get some touches in a game where they got their ass stomped. So it's like, great. You know, I hope you're happy. I hope that's all. I hope you got those highlights. And listen, I thought Pop Douglas had a nice little game, but it goes to show that if an opposing defense, and they proved this, the Jets proved this, and I think it's going to be the case going forward here, any opposing defense that can shut down this team's run game can beat them by three scores. I mean, that's the way it's going to be this year. You know, that's what you are, and if you can't do that, you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. And San Francisco has the capability of doing that, and that's another reason why I would just be cautious. And I know I'm kind of playing both worlds. Like, I want to play Drake May.
I know. You're sort of riding the fence here a little bit.
Because I don't think you necessarily, you know, if you're going to teach your kid to ski by doing the whole go to the top of the mountain and say, all right, follow me down, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. If you want to get down, get down. You can do that. You don't have to pick the biggest mountain, right? You can pick a littler mountain.
Yeah, you go on a bunny slope first.
Yeah, I'd rather have the bunny slope, which is more the Dolphins at home than the 49ers in San Francisco. You're throwing them out there.
Why can't garbage time be the bunny slope? Why couldn't that have been the bunny slope right there? You're in there in a game that doesn't matter. It's the Jets, and you're out there just sort of slinging it around.
Because it's garbage time.
That felt like glorified preseason.
Yeah, everybody knows it's garbage time. Everybody knows there's nothing on the line there. He knows it. He can try to treat it like it's his time or whatever, but everyone knows the game is over. This is meaningless football. Half the people have left the stadium. Half the people have clicked off their prime, and you can't create the atmosphere of starting the game without starting the game. You can't create the atmosphere of, if I go three and out and I watch Brock Purdy go down the field and go 7-0, how that feels. Like, that is where it counts. It counts and it matters. This didn't count. It mattered. It's good to get him out there. I'm using Gerard Mayo's terminology again. This didn't count. The game was over. This was not any more meaningful regular season action. He got out there. The next step is the start, and I still think that's a relatively significant step, especially if you make it on the road against a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think that at some point you're going to have to do these things, and I don't really think that whether your first start is against the pushover team or against the really good team, you know, you can try and plan it out like you're going to have this perfect start to the year and all the conditions are going to be just right for a guy to have a big, long career. But it's also just one game, and a game where I'm not expecting a whole lot. I mean, I think whether it's against Miami or San Francisco, Drake May's first start, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some lumps he's got to take. Maybe there'd be more of them in the San Francisco game, but it's the NFL. There's some good players on that Dolphins defense too. So I just don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that you're not really going to have this soft landing that, unless it's like Carolina or something that you're hoping for. And they don't play Carolina this year. You know, they got a pretty tough schedule. I think you might as well just rip the Band-Aid off.
Do you even care about the home road thing? And there's two ways to look at it. The comfort
of home.
But also the pop of home. I think the Crafts want the pop of home. I think they want him to start at home. I do. I think there's some value PR-wise, marketing-wise, and not that that should be a consideration for Gerard Mayo or Alex Van Pelt or anybody else. But I also do think there are football reasons where you just say, it's easier to be at home. It's easier to not fly across the country. It's easier to wake up in the bed he's used to and get to the stadium whatever time he wants to and start the process of game day, however the hell he's going to start the process of starting game day for himself.
I guess. I mean, it's not like he's been on the team for a long time, you know, this game day routine. Like, it's only 3 weeks into the season here. So, I don't know. I don't know if that makes a difference. I just think that it's
not like
you're disrupting
anything. So, you don't think home field
advantage
is a real thing?
Not with this team. Not really. I mean, this team was 1-7 at home last year. I don't think there's any home field advantage.
No.
This team
I just think in all of sports at all levels, home field is
some places
easier,
I think there
better,
is. I don't
funner,
know if it,
like whatever. I think
I don't know if it matters for a rookie. I mean, maybe the pop does, I guess. But I think even if you don't,
but if
start
he struggles,
home,
couldn't it hurt more? Like if he's struggling at home and now the crowd's booing him or something. You know what I mean? Like I feel like that could end up hurting him more.
That's I know on Mac you Jones people. Didn't like that.
That's on you people. If you boo him in his NFL debut. That's a bad home crowd.
The Joe Milton chants are going to start. That's going to really hurt his confidence.
If you people do that, then you are a bad, bad fan base.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. I may or may not have been one of the Michael Bishop cheerers back in the Drew Bledsoe days, so I can't speak to that. I can't.
You've been a moron
a bad
for
thing.
How many decades?
Oh, yeah, because Bledsoe was really killing it all those years.
Bledsoe
like,
was
please.
A light years better quarterback than Michael Bishop.
Well, we don't know that because Bishop never really got a chance to unleash the Dragon, Andy, and I'll stand by that.
Excuse me?
We never really got to see if Bishop could go out there and play or not, because Bledsoe kept getting all the reps. That's why we kept chanting for him. That's why we were filling up Sullivan Stadium on those crappy benches, yelling for Michael Bishop, because we weren't quite sure what we were looking at there. And it ended up, what, he played in the Arena League, I think? He didn't do much after that, but whatever.
That's my point. Thank you.
Yeah, it was it was just something to see. We were all tired of Bledsoe at that point. People got very tired of Drew Bledsoe. That's one thing people don't mention in all these documentaries. Everyone was sick and tired of Drew Bledsoe. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Brian Frazoco is going to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, we'll get back to your phones.